Hi guys, thank you for listening to another edition of Northern Transmissions. That was Against Me with the track Don't Lose Touch off the 2005 Fat Records release, Searching for a Former Clarity. I sat down with Tom Gable, the frontman and singer-songwriter for the band, just a few hours before their show with Rancid and Blink 182 at the Big Arena in Vancouver, whose name we don't have to mention. But yeah, we had a great conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. Here's how it goes.
The first question, generic question about the tour. How did this tour come together? Because your audience is a little different than, I mean, I'm pretty sure than like Blink 182 or The Chemical Romance, right? Out of this.
Well, Rancid is on the tour too.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think that, you know, that with all the bands playing tonight's show or with all the bands that have been on the tour, that there's a small segment of a shared fan base, you know? But it came together. They asked us if we'd do it. So we were out on the Warped Tour all summer, and we did kind of a handful of shows to get us out here from the Warped Tour. But, yeah, so they asked us, and we said, yeah.
That's awesome. So, I mean, it's good in a way because it exposes you to different, you know, the other camps that didn't know your music, right? It exposed.
Of course, yeah, yeah. I mean, the vibe you get to, like, hanging out and meeting everyone on the tour is that, you know, the reason that, and it's true for our band, and I'm assuming most bands, is the reason you take the bands on tour that you do is because you're fans of their music and you want to expose your audience to the bands that you're into.
Speaking about touring live, we chatted a little bit about obscure song references from fans in the audience, as well as recording live.
I mean, yeah. If someone wants to hear a song, it's you know, that's a compliment, and that's awesome. Whether or not we can actually play that song still, or whether or not we do play that song still, is another story. But, you know, there's no harm in asking for someone.
That's cool. No, that's cool, because I've seen a lot of musicians get pissed off because they want to play their new material, and people are, you know, they shout out, like, obscure songs.
At this point, too, it's like, you know, we have 5 full lengths and a handful of EPs and everything like that, and oftentimes you're going out on a tour, and for us, most times headlining shows, you know, we're playing 20, 25 songs a night, but that's only a handful of songs from each release. So sometimes when you're talking about like bringing back in older songs, it's nice to hear what people want to hear as an idea of like, oh, well, we should bring that one back and throw it into the set list, you know?
And what was the decision to do a live record, especially in Europe? You recorded in England.
Well, the location just all had to do with the timing. You know, we were doing a Europe tour then, and London seemed like an exciting place. We originally actually wanted to do it in Dublin, but the production company that recorded it was just a little too expensive to get them to Dublin, so we went with London. And we just felt like it was time to do it. It seemed like a cool show to capture, and, you know.
Did you find it a little invasive doing the whole the DVD you guys did entering that period?
No, just because the guy who did it, Jake, was a friend. So it's like, you know, you just have your buddy and happens to have a camera with him, and after a point you forget to even ask the camera. And so for us, that was just what people often don't understand too about like that DVD is that it's an hour long DVD, but that was a month and a half of our lives. So really, when it came to the editing process for making that DVD, there was so much that was left out, and really it was a story that was framed because that wasn't all that happened in the month. You know, those were just kind of like, let's pick these parts to tell this story, you know.
So why don't we check out a song, since we were talking about the live record. Here is the track Americans Abroad from the album Americans Abroad Against Me Live in London off the Fat Records label. Thank you for listening to Northern Transmissions. I hope you're enjoying our conversation with Tom Gable from Against Me. You can check out more about the band on their website, againstme.com, or their MySpace page for further tour and news information about the band. They are touring Europe pretty soon, so you might want to look that up. The previous song we heard, the live track, Americans Abroad in London, was in fact the last record that Against Me recorded with the label Fat Records. So we discussed a bit about the fans' reaction to all this.
Well, the first time it happened, of course you're surprised. But for us, it's been, you know, such a continual problem, or not problem, but continual phenomenon, that it became comical really quick. Because, you know, the first time we got any kind of reaction for that was, you know, as early as when we switched from Sabbath and Planet X to No Idea Records, or switched from No Idea Records to Fat Records. Right. So you're talking like jumping from smaller indies to slightly bigger indies. So of course you're guessing like, well, when we signed to a major label, of course some people are going to have a problem with it. So you know, after a point, it becomes kind of predictable and kind of cliche. And and you know, I mean, you can't live your life by what other people think of you. So
totally. No, you're totally right. I just couldn't believe, I was reading some of the things. I didn't realize how severe it was. And it's like, you know what? It's all about the art, isn't it? It's like where the art is presented now, or where.
No, totally. See, unfortunately for me, though, I'm the type of person where if it's like if I'm in a room and someone says something stupid that I know is wrong, instead of just being able to let that go, oftentimes I'm like, no. We need to address that. You're fucking wrong. You know, like that's an incorrect statement. So oftentimes when you're involved in stuff like this, where people are having, you know, inane criticisms of something you're doing, there's a tendency for me to be like, hold up, you're not making any sense here, you know, we need to debate this, but you can't win the argument. So
next we chatted a bit about working with Butch Vig, Ad Rock, as well as Mouse on Mars, among others.
I was going to ask you about working with Butch Vig. That must have been a pretty great experience. Do you find that improved you and challenged you as a writer and a musician?
100%. Yeah, both experiences being two totally different experiences, but you know, coming out of each experience, I genuinely felt like I had learned something, you know, and I was walking away with knowledge that I'd just be able to use for the rest of my life, you know, whether that was knowledge on song structuring, knowledge on recording techniques, and just in general, I think it just made us all individually stronger musicians and better as a band, you know?
Cool. And did you record it in Madison, Wisconsin? Is that where you did the...
We put out a 7-inch this past May, I think it was, that we recorded there in Madison, but the past two full-length records we recorded out in Los Angeles, so...
Okay. So he doesn't... I thought he only recorded his...
No, he lives in L.A.
Oh, in L.A. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He used to be based out of Madison.
Right, Smart Studios, which is still there. Yeah.
Smart Studios is down there. And that, I think that's, wasn't that where Nevermind was, a good chunk of that was done? Or was,
I think they just did the demos for that there. I'm pretty sure they did it, recorded it at Ocean Way in Los Angeles. I could be wrong on that, but I know they did track it in Los Angeles. I'm not sure specific studio.
But, yeah, you worked with like Mike D on the song from her Lips to God's Ears.
With Ad Rock?
Yeah, with Ad Rock from the Beastie Boys. How enjoyable was that? Were you excited about the ending?
I mean, it wasn't necessarily a collaboration. It was more like we asked him to do a remix, sent him the tracks, and he did it. And of course, totally stoked on the results. And it's really interesting seeing someone else's take on your song, you know, and seeing how someone rearranges it. But for us, it was a pretty far removed project, you know. It wasn't very hands on for our part. So
totally. And also, you had worked with Mouse on Mars, which is pretty. I saw them years ago, open for Stereo Lab. I hadn't known you'd worked with them. How was that? How was the end result of that? Was that cool too?
Yeah, really cool, for sure. You know, I mean, and a lot of that, you know, reaching out to both Ad Rock or Mouse on Mars was about being fans of Mouse on Mars or the Beastie Boys, you know, and wanting to have some kind of connection or work with them in some facet. So it was awesome to have them be a part of it. You know,
that's great.
You are listening to Northern Transmissions, as always. We appreciate your listenership. You can find more information about us on Twitter, Northern Trans, or you can contact us at northerntransmissions@gmail.com, or you can check out www.northerntransmissions.com. I chatted next with Tom a bit about what inspired him to start playing music when he was a young lad.
My first band, I was like 11 or 12. I started playing guitar when I was 8 years old. I just was always gravitated towards musicians and fascinated by rock bands and stuff, and I knew from a very young age that that's just what I wanted to do. So saved up money mowing lawns and ordered a guitar out of a catalog and started taking lessons.
That's awesome. And what were like some of the first records that really...
Well, I didn't have an older brother or older sister or anything like that, and being an army brat, I moved around a lot, so I didn't really necessarily have anyone to look up to kind of show me what to listen to, so thus my tastes were varied, and I was really into, like, you know, metal bands. Like, my first cassette tape was Def Leppard Hysteria, I loved Guns N' Roses, but then at the same time, the first, like, CD I ever got was, like, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and then also there's really into, like, U2, but then also I had my New Kids on the Block tapes and MC Hammer tapes too. It was more like whatever, you know, I came across that I liked a song I was into, but definitely always into music, you know.
That's great. I like your honesty that you're like, it's like poor an MC Hammer. It's like you only sold like 50 million units and nobody.
Someone had to buy them.
Yeah. We were talking about Florida earlier before we started the conversation. It's a really fascinating state. I mean, the South is a real mosaic. It's a cultural mosaic. I mean,
sure.
You have like a lot of Hispanic and like Haitians and Jews and whatever. The whole mixed thing. And then, of course, you go up north, and it's pretty, like, Christian,
well, it's,
conservative.
The way we always refer to it is that, like, the Miami, and I grew up in Naples. I moved there when I was, like, 12. But it's kind of like this, it's south of the south down there. And then when you go a little north to, like, I live in St. Augustine now, that's the south. That's basically a part of Georgia for all intents and purposes, you know. But really, the difference from, say, like, Miami to Pensacola, which is, like, a 10-hour drive, you know, is vast.
It's really night and day, right?
Oh, totally, yeah. Even just climate-wise, there's changes, you know?
So that's still inspiring. It's a pretty fiery place to live, I guess, in that area. It's still, like, he writes some pretty... It's inspiring to the songwriting.
Well, growing up, too, like, I mean, you know, I was coming of age in high school and stuff like that, 1994, 1995. That was still kind of pre-internet, so it was even more isolated down there because there wasn't really a big punk scene. I mean, there were no real big bands that came out of Naples, Florida.
Right.
You know, we were the first band to really come out of Naples, Florida. But
awesome.
So, you know, you were really isolated. There was no older punk scene to look up to. You just kind of had to invent it as you went along.
I was a teenage anarchist looking for revolution. I had the style, I had the ambition. Read all the authors, I knew the rock slogans. There was a war, but the class war, I was ready to set the world on fire. I was a teenage anarchist looking for revolution. Do you remember when you were young and you wanted to set the world on fire? Do mob mentality. They set their rifle sights on me. Anarchist.
And that was the song I Was a Teenage Anarchist off the White Crosses album, which was released on Sire Records, produced by Butch Vig. That album was actually was chosen by Spin Magazine as Record of the Year, and also highly touted by Rolling Stone Magazine. I chatted a little bit with Tom about that.
It's pretty weird, you know. I mean, for us, it was like a what, you know. Definitely, you know, whenever someone pays you a compliment, of course, your natural response is to be flattered. So that's a pretty big compliment, and yeah, it was definitely very flattering.
Yeah, it's a pretty big. I mean, they've been around a long time, right? And it's
right. It's well, in the U.S., I mean,
influential.
It's influential. Yeah, totally. In the U.S., it's Spin and Rolling Stone are kind of like the big two music magazines. So
right, Rolling Stone too mentioned you guys were one of the most influential bands. I think specifically you were like one of the most influential people in
again
in
very,
music.
Very flattering.
pretty cool. Were your parents like impressed when they
well, yeah, I mean, having stuff like that happen, or you know, being on like late shows and stuff like that, I mean, that those are the moments where it validates what you do to your parents, and they have a connection to it, you know.
Finally, Tom and I chatted about his songwriting and the future a little bit.
I think you were quoted as saying you want to put out 10 records over the next 10 years. Are you constantly writing songs, and is there someone that you'd really like to write with in the future?
Yes, definitely constantly writing songs, you know. I think that statement was just intended really to imply, like, I want to be really prolific in the next 10 years. This year alone, we've already put out Total Clarity, re-released White Crosses with Black Crosses, and did a 7-inch. So that's 3 releases just this year alone. But, you know, I really just want to be prolific in the next couple of years. As far as working with other artists, fuck, man, there's so many people I'd love to work with. And writing with, you know, is an interesting thing, just because I've never specifically really done that, like it been like I want to write with you and chosen someone else, but definitely for sure, you know, would love to collaborate with other people.
And that concludes another episode of Northern Transmissions. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks a lot to Tom Gable for the great interview. Thank you for, as always, the great production and engineering skills of Andy Kallstrom, of course. And we're going to leave you with one more song. This is the track Unprotected Sex with Multiple Partners from the Searching for a Former Clarity record.
Side.